May I speak in the name of God, who is Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. Many years ago, when I had a full-time job in IT in London, we had a particularly stressful week leading up to Christmas at work, with at least as many software problems as usual, and clients demanding work to be finished and problems solved before the holidays. Very much business as usual. And I remember a colleague remarking during that time, "It feels like Christmas is already over. We've had the parties and the fun, and now it's back to the same old stress and grind already. And there's nothing to look forward to. Nothing has changed. It's business as usual." And now, almost as soon as Christmas Day is over, there seems to be so much haste to get back to business as usual. I wonder, has anybody here taken down their Christmas decorations yet? It's not unknown. It also always strikes me as a little odd that many people begin to mark Christmas so early these days. And it seems to get earlier every year, doesn't it? And yet, we can't even wait, some people can't even wait until Twelfth Night to take down the lights and the tinsel and put them away for another year. Of course, schools have to get ready for a new term. And the shops, well, of course, the Easter eggs are out already and hot cross buns are available all year round nowadays. Perhaps it's something to do with the winter solstice. The evenings are beginning to get lighter. The worst of darkness is behind us. And in a few days' time, of course, we will celebrate New Year. A chance to make a fresh start, make resolutions for the and plans for the coming year. Many people use this opportunity of New Year to make a lifestyle change, however temporary that might be, putting behind them the excesses and overindulgence of their Christmas celebrations and perhaps giving up alcohol or adopting a vegetarian or vegan diet, or even both. But the Christian Church continues its celebration of the incarnation, of God taking on human flesh well into the new year. Eastern Orthodox churches don't celebrate the birth of Jesus until January the 7th. Many Christians will continue to observe Christmas right through the season of Epiphany until the presentation of Christ in the temple, or Candlemas, on the 2nd of February. While the Christmas trees may disappear for obvious reasons, the crib will remain. And yet, all around us are reminders of the stark realities of the world that Jesus came to save, not least in our gospel reading today. We can become insulated against the television appeals for charities that help people who are homeless, sick, or in need. But through my work with the food bank this year, I've become aware more than ever of families struggling with difficult and seemingly intractable situations. But at the same time, I've become aware of the generosity and goodwill of this community, who have rallied around with clothing, hot Christmas dinners, and presents for children who would otherwise have had none. A comment one often hears is that Christmas is for the children. And yes, it's good and heartwarming to share in their anticipation and excitement, their sense of wonder as they retell the story of the baby born in Bethlehem. And yes, of course, we want children to enjoy and appreciate this time of year. We enjoy giving gifts to our children and grandchildren and seeing their pleasure. But when you look at the Christmas story in detail, this is hardly a story for children. If we look beyond the sentimentality, we find an occupied country, an unmarried mother giving birth in poverty and squalor, far from home, the mass murder of children by a despotic ruler, and a family forced into exile. In the bleak midwinter of Palestine 2,000 years ago, Christmas came. God took the huge risk of becoming a vulnerable baby for love of you and me. And as we look at the world around us on this, the first Sunday of Christmas, it's easy for us to feel overwhelmed and helpless, to feel that our Christmas celebrations are over and that nothing has changed, that we're powerless to change things. It's business as usual. Our final hymn this morning is going to be a carol we don't sing all that often these days, God Rest You Merry Gentlefolk. And the chorus speaks of tidings of comfort and joy. I heard an interesting reflection on the word comfort and the meaning that we give to it, both in the past and nowadays. These days, comfort has come to mean something personal, something about our own circumstances. We speak of comfort zones that we'd rather not move out of. It seems to be about warmth and well-being. But as we often discuss at Pentecost, when we speak of the Holy Spirit as the Comforter, the origin of the word comfort comes from the Latin verb to encourage and strengthen. To comfort someone is not just to sympathize with them, to say, ah, there, it's okay. It is in some way to improve their well-being, to provide for their needs or guide them forward into a new way forward. Another carol that has kept going through my head this Christmas is Good King Wenceslas. Very much a bleak midwinter, business as usual carol, about the well-off reaching out to help a person in need, providing comfort. The carol concludes, therefore, Christians, all be sure, wealth or rank possessing, ye who now will bless the poor, shall yourselves find blessing. Because providing comfort is a mutual thing. It benefits both the provider and the receiver. So if we do feel that nothing has changed, in some ways that shouldn't come as a surprise, because nothing has changed. We've just been reminded of that change. The love of God, which he showed by coming to live alongside us as Jesus, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It isn't just for Christmas. It's not just a warm, cozy feeling connected with carols and presents and log fires. It's for real, for all the business as usual times. It's for sharing with other people. And when we allow that love to shine in the darkness that surrounds us, we may see things in a different light. Tidings of comfort and joy, indeed.